Good morning, my name is Johnny. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. You'll have to bear with me. I am experiencing technical difficulties. Okay, now I'd like to read to you the daily word. Is let go and let God. I do what is mine to do and release the rest. Over the years, I have accepted more and more responsibility as I have grown in maturity and experience. I have also grown in wisdom as I am able to discern what is mine to do. I have learned what to take on and what to leave for others. I have also learned not to exhaust myself by taking on too many commitments. Perhaps more important, I know when to use my will and determination to make things happen and when to let go. I recall times in my life when I felt frustrated that events did not unfold the way I had expected. I can now see how they unfolded perfectly, often in ways better than I could have imagined. I now let go easily, trusting in that perfection. And from the Bible, in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. And that's from Acts 17:28. Now, if all of you will please join us, while Mike and Karen lead us in surely the presence.
No.
Surely the presence of God's love in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angels.
Thank you, Mike and Karen. And now it's time for our opening statement. Let's all say our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as life, God the good. And now it's time for our welcoming song. If you will please join us in singing while Mike and Karen lead us in our welcoming song, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to the kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Well, baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. But it's not seeing your flag on the marble arch. But love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Well, there was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do ya? I remember when I moved in you, and the Holy Dove was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah. 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 Well, maybe there's a God above. But all I ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who I'm true, yeah. And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Michael, Karen, and Isaac. And now it is time for our greeting, time to greet our neighbors. Now that we are online with Zoom, please feel free to turn on your gallery view and see everybody so you can wave or gesture to one another, whatever that means. Hi, Dee, welcome.
Blessings.
Hi, Dee. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Now it's time for announcements. Do we have any announcements out there? Looking to see if anybody's raising their hand. I don't see anybody raising their hand. Cindy, you have an announcement?
I would like to announce that breaking your wrist really, really hurts.
And how are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, then. And we have some announcements here. Let's all remember Grandfather's Medicine Wheel teachings is on Thursday at 6 o'clock. It's on this same Zoom channel. And this week he'll be speaking about Flicker, the Cornelian Agate, and the Wild Rose. All right, now it's time for our unity statement. If you would all please join me, we'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And now it's time for a song of joy. Today we'll be singing two songs of joy. So right now, Karen and Mike will lead us first in Make You Feel My Love, and then that will be followed with a special birthday song on the day Isaac was born.
Baby. Thank you.
seen nothing like me yet. I could make you happy, make your dreams come true. Oh, there's nothing that I wouldn't do. Go to the ends of the earth for you, to make you feel my love.
So we'll go right into on the day Isaac was born. For Isaac's birthday today, he turns 2. On the day Isaac was born, on the day Isaac was born, on the day Isaac was born, the angels sang and they blew on their horns and they danced, they smiled and raised up their hands. On the day Isaac was born.
Do it one more time.
On the day Isaac was born, on the day Isaac was born, on the day Isaac was born, the angels sang and they blew on their horns and they danced, they smiled and raised up their hands. On the day
All right, that was wonderful. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And now it's time for our reading. This morning, our reading will be given by Penny.
Good morning. I am reading again from An Altar in the World. This was a book gifted to me by Deanne through Cindy. And it's one of my favorite little meditation books. And this is a little short story about reverence. And I have just cut out a piece and then I'll jump to the end and read the last paragraph. But it does go on for several pages. So reverence may take all kinds of forms, depending on what it is that it awakens the awe in you by reminding you of your true size. Nature is full of bigger and more powerful things than human beings, including, but not limited to, night skies, oceans, thunderstorms, deserts, grizzly bears, and earthquakes, and swollen rivers. But size is not everything. Properly attended to, even a salt marsh mosquito is capable of evoking reverence. Those white and black striped stockings on its legs, thinner than a needle? Where in those legs is there room for knees? And yet, see how they bend as the bug lowers itself onto your flesh? Soon you will see she will be blood kin. Your itch is the price of her life. Swat her if you must, but not without telling her she is beautiful first. The easiest practice of reverence I know is simply to is simply to sit down. Excuse me just a minute. I'm sorry. We're on camera, Rosa. The easiest practice of reverence I know is simply to sit down somewhere outside, preferably near a body of water, and pay attention for at least 20 minutes. It is not necessary to take on the whole world at first. Just take the 3 square feet of earth, which is sitting in front of you. Pay close attention to everything that lives within that small estate. You might even decide not to kill anything for 20 minutes, including that salt marsh mosquito. Just blow her away and ask her to please go find someone else to eat. With any luck, you will soon begin to see the soles in the pebbles, ants, small amounts of moss, and the acorn that is on its way to becoming an oak tree. You may feel some tenderness for the struggling mayfly the ants are carrying away. If you can see the water, you can see the mayfly and take time to wonder where it comes from and where it's going. You may even feel the beating of your own heart, that miracle of ingenuity that does its work with no thought or instructions from you. You did not make your heart any more than you made a tree. You are a guest here. You have been given free pass to this modest domain and everything in it. I'm going to skip to the last paragraph. Like all other practices in this book, paying attention requires no equipment, no special clothes, no greens fee, no personal trainers. You do not even have to be in particularly good shape. All you need is a body on this earth, willing to notice where it is, trusting that even something as small as a hazelnut can become an altar in the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. That was wonderful. Now it's time for our meditation song. If you will all please join us while Mike and Karen lead us in the meditation song, Rama Dasa Sase Soham.
Rama Dasa Sase Soham. Rama Dasa Sase Soham. Rama Dasa Sase Soham. Rama Dasa Sase Soham. Rama Dasa Sase Soham. Rama Dasa Sase Soham. Rama Dasa
Thank you, Michael, Karen, and Isaac. That was wonderful. And now it's time for affirmations. I'm going to say our affirmations together. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace knowing that everything I need comes to me in perfect time. Now it's time for the Lord's Prayer. This week we'll be doing the traditional Lord's Prayer. Let's all say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you, Michael, Karen, and Isaac. Boy, how I miss everyone's voices when we're singing that together.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for our speaker. As many of you know, we are privileged to have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning, we are blessed to have Grandfather Roy Wilson share the commonality of Native American and unity spirituality. Take it away, Grandfather.
You need to click on the blue box.
There we go. Thank you, Tom. Well, my talk today is in one word for a title, walls, W-A-L-L-S, walls. It will start off sounding like you think I'm giving you a history lesson. But I'll soon get into the spiritual lesson, the history lesson from the Bible, just laying a foundation for the spiritual lesson. walls. There are many stories in the Bible about walls. Let us start off first with the walls of Jericho. Well, it's interesting that those walls, there were two walls. They were of equal height. And in between the two walls, that was the city garbage dump where they dumped all their garbage. There were homes built on the top of the wall, but those were the people like Rahab the harlot was one. She had her home up on the top of the garbage dump. Well, what is interesting, when the children of Israel, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, approached Jericho, they sent two men to search out the city. And when the king of Jericho heard of that, he went looking for them. But Rahab hid them in her house up on top of the wall. And then to help them to escape, she let them down by a rope out through a window in her wall over the outer wall. And as she did so, she said to them, "When you come and take the city, please preserve my family, my children, my parents, my uncles, aunts, all of us." And so they did that. The walls fell. The wall fell. But Rahab was not only saved and her family, but she then went with the children of Israel onto the conquering of the Holy Land, Palestine. She ended up living with them and married a Jew. And what is interesting is that she became the grandmother of David the king. David wasn't a pure full-blooded Jew. He had Gentile blood in him. Now, you remember that both Mary and Joseph, the father, they both were descendants of King David. And so Jesus had Gentile blood. But the walls fell. The walls fell, and all walls eventually must fall. Let's take another one. You take King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He destroyed Jerusalem. He had a great city, Babylon. Babylon had two large walls that circled the city. Inside that city, protected by those walls, he had built the hanging gardens. He had married a woman from Persia to be the queen, and she was used to hills and gardens, and Babylon was just on a big flat plain. The hanging gardens, we think of hydraulics as something that's a modern invention. He had a hydraulic pump that would pump water up to the top of that hill and water the gardens by gravitational flow. We think of asphalt as something fairly modern. He had asphalt streets. He had quite a place. But those walls, wow. The city was 15 miles on each side. So to circle the city was 60 miles. The two walls, the outer wall was 100 feet wide at the base and 300 feet tall. Can you imagine if you had a building with 10-foot ceilings, that would be a 10-story building. Now, what about the footing for that wall? You had to have a pretty good footing for it. That footing was 100 feet wide and 30 feet deep. Recall that back in those days, they didn't have hydraulic earth-moving equipment, so they must have done it all by hand. Can you imagine digging a footing for a wall, a ditch, 100 feet wide, 30 feet deep for 60 miles? That staggers my imagination. Well, the walls eventually fell, but the footing remained to confirm the historical records of the size of the walls. How did they fall? Well, it's interesting. In that city, with 15 miles on each side, the 60-mile circumference, The river Euphrates flowed through the city from one corner diagonally across to the other corner. Oh, well, that's a place where an enemy could come in. No, they couldn't, because Nebuchadnezzar had built gates with iron bars that went all the way to the riverbed at the bottom of the river. So how did Cyrus the king, Persian, take it? Well, before I tell you how he took it, I would say that you'll look in the book of Daniel and you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Nebuchadnezzar, was now king. And there was that story about the handwriting on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin, and the Nebuchadnezzar could not get anyone in his kingdom that could translate that. But they called in Daniel, and Daniel said, that says that, O king, you are found wanting, and this night your kingdom will be taken from you. Well, the Cyrus, the king of Persia's army, came and took it. And how? Well, before I tell you how, I'll tell you the other Bible story. Isaiah the prophet, 200 or 300 years before the event, prophesied of the fall and named the king, said Cyrus, king of Persia, will take it. And that's exactly who took it. How did he do it? Well, he dug a big ditch. His army dug a big ditch outside the city, around, and diverted the river Euphrates around the city, walked in on dry riverbed and tunneled under the sand and took the city. The walls fell. They were gone. Another one, you know the story of Jonah and the whale. He went to Nineveh. Nineveh had 5 walls around it, but eventually that fell. The walls of Jerusalem, the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the wall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, not Nebuchadnezzar, but the walls of Jerusalem, Roman army. Roman army destroyed the walls of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Walls fall. They never remain. In our modern day and time, the West German Wall finally fell. Walls must fall. So let's look at that sociologically and spiritually. The walls must fall. Have you ever been angry? I know every one of us have had those experiences. But when you become angry, you build a wall. Build a wall between you and the person you are angry with. Remember what Jesus said. He turned to the Pharisees one day and he said to them, you have read, do not commit murder. He was quoting the Ten Commandments. And then he said, but I say unto you, do not be angry. And he goes on to elucidate anger as equated with murder. It's a wall. It must come down. And you and I both must fight that wall that we can build in our hearts. Jesus addressed that wall in a number of different ways. One place he said, love your neighbor even as yourself. He's saying the wall's got to crumble. Another place he said, love your enemies. What? Yeah, it's a wonder he didn't say, as he did with the previous one, love your enemies as you love yourself. The walls must fall. They must fall. We can go on with many spiritual walls that we build. Denominationalism, that's building walls. When we all get to the kingdom of heaven, there'll be no denominationalism. We'll all be God's kids. The walls must fall. In this sense, I believe that the Unity Church is setting an example for all of the other denominations of the world in Christianity. For we say that we believe in the values, practice, and teachings of Jesus and others. We believe in that word unity, and that's what happens when we destroy the walls. You are leading a gate, a door, a pathway for the rest of the Christian world. But you and I as individuals aren't clear of all that. We may be members of the Unity Church, but we each fight our own individual walls. And so we have that to struggle with. You might say, Grandfather Roy, you're a United Methodist clergyman. Now, how's that fit in? Well, it's very interesting. I never shared this with you before, but the United Methodist Church is very similar in this particular concept with unity. For many other denominations say, you Methodists, don't you believe it? You don't believe in anything. Well, we do, but we have only one doctrine, only one. And that doctrine is called the doctrine of pluralism, which simply says, we believe the Bible is of no private interpretation. That's unity. We are one with you. So I'm just feeling right home with both my United Methodist and my unity tradition. Walls must fall. Sociological laws. I will say this, that spiritual laws, walls and sociological walls are very, very much in unity with each other. You destroy a sociological wall by anger, and you've destroyed a spiritual wall. Well, spiritual walls compact and impact sociological values, and sociological values impact spiritual values. They go hand in hand. Let's take one more. Economic walls. All walls must fall. I think back to the time in the history of this nation when women were not even allowed to vote. And finally, they broke that wall down. And little by little by little, women have been gaining more and more of an equality with males. But those walls that separate must fall. For today, we still have work to do to become so that equality. There are women who work on jobs the men work on and get a smaller pay. That is not justice. That wall must fall. I look back to a time in the 1960s when liberation theology became quite prominent. And there was the feminist liberation theology and the feminist, the problem that happened, I had debates with a number of them. They were on a great path to bring equality, but then they were doing the thing the men were doing. They were putting the men down as the men put the women down. And I just told them, we need to be equal with each other. The walls must fall. Where do you stand with walls in your life? Where do I stand with walls in my life? I will say this, that I am not a real, full, pure, holy person with no walls. I struggle with walls just as you do, but I don't struggle as much as I once did. More and more the walls keep crumbling. Oh, sociological walls. Oh, I don't know why I even chuckle, because this is a sad one. But I can remember in my youth, my dad, oh, what a wall he had. I can remember there'd be a knock on the door, maybe eating dinner, and he'd holler out, if you're white coming in, if you're black, stay out. He was very, very against our African American people. He always put them down. And I can remember as a child and youth, even then, I was rejecting what he was doing. I already could not allow that wall to be built in my life. But I have had other walls that were much more difficult to get rid of. What are the walls in your life that need to be torn down? Let us go into our time of meditation. Our silence, quietly, relax, slowly, breathe deep, relax, Go to the center of your heart and soul and being. Take a moment or two to identify walls. You know you've got them. We all have them. Identify some of those walls. Now, as you've identified walls, take a moment of time to ask yourself, what can I do to begin tearing down those walls that I've just identified? Amen. Close Kakwa. Back to you, Johnny.
Thank you, Grandfather. Now it's time for our offering. When we aren't physically together at church to collect our offerings, we want to thank everyone who has donated to Unity by mail. We appreciate any checks sent to the church at 800 South Pearl Street, in Centralia, 98531. We also deeply appreciate all the ways you give of your time, talent, and treasure. As we hold our offering in our hands and hearts, let us say our offering prayer together. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and all that I am. And now it's time for our blessing of thanks. Let's say our blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now it's time for our healing prayer. If you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, please raise your hand. Unmute and tell us who it is, or hold them quietly in your heart. Members of our community have requested we send out healing prayers and energy to all of those who are homeless and out in the cold today. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now it's time for our prayer of protection. Let's all say our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Now it's time for our peace song. Let's all imagine forming a circle and joining hands as we sing our song of peace. Feel free to turn to gallery view and Zoom so you can see everybody singing. We want to say a thank you to all who made Sunday service possible. And please stay with us after service if you wish to share in our fellowship time. And next week, we'll be honored to have our wonderful Eileen Selleck share her wisdom of everyday life. Take it away, Mike and Karen.
Let there be peace.
begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as creator, we all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my joyous vow. To take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
Hey, what if everybody unmuted and you went and got Isaac and we all sang happy birthday to him? It'll be crazy. It'll be crazy if we're unmuted, but it'll be fun.
Here he comes.
Hi, Isaac.
Ready? Let's sing happy birthday to Isaac. Come on.
Okay. A one, a two, a one.
The blue box, grandfather.
To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Well, that should traumatize him for life.